The race is on for the White House ahead of the presidential election in November. Democratic candidates are battling it out in the first of the primaries in Iowa, and the talking point this evening has been the massive delay in results. But that didn't stop candidates from taking to the podium and rallying their supporters. Here are some of their comments from earlier this afternoon, starting with Senator Amy Klobuchar.
We know there's delays, but we know one thing. We are punching above our weight.
Four more years of Donald Trump will fundamentally alter the character of this nation. And character is on the ballot. That's what this is.
Thank you, Iowa. Thank you so much. So listen, it is too close to call, so I'm just going to tell you what I do know.
You won!
So we don't know all the results. But we know by the time it's all said and done, Iowa, you have shocked the nation.
Thank you. Thank you. And let me in. I have a good feeling we're going to be doing very, very well here in Iowa.
Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, Peter Buttigieg, and finally Bernie Sanders there. Philip Elliott is the Washington correspondent for Time magazine and is in Iowa this evening. He's been helping me understand American elections for years here on RN Drive, and he's back. Phil, thanks for coming on.
Great to reconnect.
So for us in Australia, we are completely unfamiliar with this process. So can you explain to us what the Iowa caucuses are and how it will contribute to the Democratic nominee for the presidential race later this year?
Sure thing. So in the United States, basically 2 years before an election, or sometimes even earlier than that, these candidates start running. So they're running in a race where there are no votes count for the first year. Iowa is the first time Americans get to weigh in on who they want to be the nominee for president. But in Iowa, it's run by the state party. It's not run by the government or the state. It's not Democratic in the traditional sense. These candidates will go and pitch themselves to there are about 1,600 of these individual sites, school gyms, high school cafeterias, church basements, libraries, all of these individual caucus sites, and they run themselves. And the candidates can go in there and speak. Their surrogates can go in. They get 2 minutes to make a final closing argument. Then everyone gets off the bleachers or off the whatever they're sitting on. And then they go stand in the corner. Literally, they go stand with the candidates or the candidates' reps at each of these individual places. Anyone who doesn't get 15% support, and anyone who's backing a candidate who doesn't get 15% support, gets to go to a second choice. You get to go make a second place, finish. So I was at a site tonight in Des Moines where Andrew Yang, Amy Klobuchar, and Joe Biden all failed to reach the threshold of 15%. They decided to rally together, get a protest block, and end up backing a candidate who'd already dropped out of the race just as a way to undercut any of the other rivals going forward. It's a completely nuts system. It is something that we all obsess over every 4 years.
Bernie Sanders is a 78-year-old senator, often described as a socialist, and he represents Vermont. Of course, he didn't get the nomination last time Hillary Clinton beat him, and that was controversial in and of itself. He's clearly resonating with crowds in Iowa. Tell me what happened there.
Well, Bernie Sanders has never really stopped building his revolution, as he calls it, here in Iowa. His people were with him. He's kept that support, it looks like, and it looks like he's added to it. He leaned on a very popular rock band, Vampire Weekend, to draw 3,000 people over the weekend to one of his rallies, where he was also registering people to caucus, helping them figure out where they were going to go. It was the largest crowd of the cycle, but at the same time, we saw at the Mayor Pete Buttigieg, who's a former mayor of the third largest city in Indiana, he got 2,000 people. So there's just a ton of energy among Democratic activists in the state who really, more than anything, wanted to figure out who is going to be the strongest challenger to President Donald Trump's reelection. And poll after poll, they have made that their number one priority. Tonight, we heard Bernie Sanders people say he has raised the most money from Americans and therefore could go viably toe-to-toe with Trump, dollar for dollar. And then we heard people like Biden supporters saying, well, you know what, Biden can win in the Midwest, he can win swing states. So really, they all want the same thing, they're just not sure how to get there.
Earlier in the year, President Donald Trump tweeted about Bernie Sanders' rising popularity. It could read as an effort from the president to boost the Vermont senator, but what would his motivation be? Does he perhaps see him as easy to beat? What's your analysis?
It's not that we describe Bernie Sanders as a socialist. He describes himself as a democratic socialist. He's technically not a member of the Democratic Party when he's in the Senate. He, for instance, 2 years ago, he ran for the Democratic nomination for another term in Vermont. After he won the nomination, he rejected it and still ran as an independent. It's a really complicated relationship Bernie Sanders has with the Democratic Party. That said, socialism in the United States has a polls at about 20% popularity. It is really not something that Americans identify with. I mean, most of the people who are voting in the participating in the Iowa caucuses and voting primaries are of a certain age. They remember the Cold War that was fought against communism, and they're not ready to embrace that far left style politics just yet. I mean, America is still a center right country at its core. Bernie Sanders is able to resonate with the far left in a very loud and aggressive way. But there are some people here who are saying, you know what, pump the brakes. We like some of the ideas, but man, we could end up looking at a Ronald Reagan-style 1984 reelect where he carries 49 of 50 states just because it'll be so easy for Donald Trump to cast him as a far-left loon.
So now, where does it leave the Democratic candidate still vying, of course, to become the candidate after the Iowa caucuses?
Joe Biden left the state almost immediately for New Hampshire. Others, like Elizabeth Warren, are on their way as we speak here. Everyone is going to rush to New Hampshire. The uncertainty here really just sparked a new interest in the race in New Hampshire. Because after spending literally tens of millions of dollars here on advertising, staff, offices, real estate, gas reimbursements, yard signs, the lack of a headline coming out of here, other than the Democratic Party's incompetence here in Iowa, really makes that much of an effort in New Hampshire all the more necessary. That they have to go, they have to get themselves to New Hampshire, which is not easy, as I'm learning as I'm trying to get there on Wednesday. But there is just the race basically gets a second start there. The results out of Iowa are not going to drive the headlines that we once thought they were, and that really we have a window before February 11th when New Hampshire votes to really figure things out.
Thank you so much for your time. As always, Phil, you did a terrific job. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Patricia.